Welcome to God's 5 Minutes with Pastor Ed Wilson. Reach him at God's5Minutes@gmail.com. Now, here's Ed Wilson with God's 5 Minutes.
Hello, friends. Hosea 2:15 reads, "And I will give her her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope." This part of Hosea's book is concerned with prophesying to Israel that just as a nation had once been in bondage in a foreign nation because of their infidelity, so they were to be again. But the far-sighted prophet looked past the unhappy years leading up to that captivity and the still more unhappy years to be spent enduring it to a second time of restoration. And as always, God wanted to provide cheer and hope for those who would keep the sacred fire burning during the long night. Thus his prophecy. It's easy to explain the allusion to the Valley of Achor. After the capture of Jericho by Joshua, the people were baffled in their first attempt to pass up through the narrow defile that led from the plain of Jordan to the highlands of Canaan. Their defeat was caused by the covetousness of Achan, who for the sake of some miserable spoil broke God's laws and brought shame on his people. When the swift, terrible punishment on him had purged the camp, God's blessing resumed, and with Achan lying stiff and stark below his rock pile, they pressed on up the canyon. The rugged valley where all that took place was named the Valley of Achor, or Trouble. So Hosea's message was that just like then, so for all future ages, when God's people allow themselves to start transgressing his law because of grasping for the riches of an evil world, the result will be weakness and defeat. But the message is also very positive. If they will be taught in their trouble and will purge themselves the unclean thing, then the disasters will make a way for hope to come to them again. The figure Hosea used to show this is very vivid. The narrow ravine stretches before us with its dark overhanging cliffs that almost shut out the sky. The path is rough and filled with slippery gravel. It is narrow, winding, steep. Often it seems to be barred by some huge boulder that juts out across it, and there is barely room for the broken ledge between the beetling crag above it and the steep slope beneath that tumbles down to the rushing torrent below. All is gloomy, damp, hard, and if we look upwards, the canyon becomes more savage as it rises, and armed foes hold the very exit of the pass. But however long, however barren, however rugged, however black, however trackless, if we have the courage to look up at it, we can also see a bright form descending the rocky way with radiant eyes and calm lips, God's messenger, hope. And the rough rocks are like the doorway through which he comes near to us in our weary struggle. For you see, folks, in all our difficulties and sorrows, great or small, in all our business perplexities, in the losses that rob our homes rather of their light, in the little things that spread like a swarm of gnats through so much of our days, we have the power to turn them all into a fundamental grasp of God, and thus the door by which a happier hope will flow into our souls. But the promise has its terms. Achan has to be killed and safely put out of the way, or no shining hope will stand out against the black walls of the canyon. The tastes which seduce us to the perishable world, the yearnings for Babylonish garments and wedges of gold must be mastered and subdued. Swift, sharp, unrelenting justice must be done on the lust of the flesh and the eye and the pride of life if our trials are ever become doors of hopes. There is nothing in undergoing sorrow and pain to make us more spiritual or our hope brighter. Everything depends on how we use the trial. The bright hope coming down the narrow chasm as his messenger, it's his angel. All the light of hope is really only the reflection in our hearts of the light of God. So let's forget Jericho and Achan behind us, pledge to keep just one step at a time up the dark canyon before us, trust God to take care of the enemy ahead, we'll see the blue sky.
You have been listening to God's 5 Minutes with Pastor Ed Wilson. Reach him by email at godsfiveminutes@gmail.com. Tune in next time to hear more encouraging thoughts from God's Word on God's 5 Minutes with Pastor Ed Wilson.
What can be done, and how does a church or ministry handle allegations that's been made against them? Next time.
Just really hard to deal with the shock of having some kind of allegation come forward. I think if we don't deal with sin within the body, that is a form of almost of mocking God and certainly of dishonoring His name. In the event that you're going to be talking to a child, you would only want a child forensic interviewer to talk to a child. You don't just have anybody interview kids. You get better results if you have people in clear roles with clear tasks and it's separated out.
This is Mark Taylor, and join me on my next Crosspoint as we discuss how to respond to allegations in ministry.
You can hear Crosspoint 4 times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.